Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. On this weekend show, we're focusing on the resource sector. We're also going to get into a number of the metal stocks. We're going to start with precious metals, talk about some of the pricing moves in gold and silver. And then, as I said, into some of the stocks, as some of these stocks have really started to move in the last about 2 months, but it all depends what time frame you're looking at. You look at a longer term chart, some of these candlesticks are very small compared to how low these stocks have gone, which very well could mean some nice upside still to come. But we all need to, I think, decipher which companies are better and if we truly are entering a time here where this rising tide will lift all boats. So is it time to even get into some of the juniors? We'll cover all of these on this weekend show, kicking off with Richard Postma, aka Doc. On the back end of the show, we're chatting with Rick Rule. So Doc, let's start off with just a quick comment on the gold price. A lot of people have been following the gold price, and I think even more investors have been following the gold price now that it broke out to all-time highs, and for the most part has been flat for the last month, but flat in around this $2,350 price range, that's a strong gold price. So Doc, what are you seeing in the gold chart in terms of this sideways consolidation and where gold could go from here?
Well, what I'm watching, as you were correct, it's kind of moving sideways here for almost a month now, and we're going to, on the daily chart, pretty soon, we're going to reach a supporting area of the 50-month moving averages, both simple and exponential. And that's going to be a telling point for gold. And if it breaks those two levels, then we're probably going to be in a trading range over the summer months, which often are not kind to the precious metals. And when you look at the weekly chart on gold, it also shows that we may be peaking, and on a number of the indicators on the RSI and the strength indicators, it looks like we could be in a trading range for a while with a gradual down. But that would be a good thing because that would give us a stronger market going forward as far as I'm concerned. If we close the month of May up at this level or even below a little bit below this, we're going to have had 3 months of higher closing highs. So that's starting to send out a little bit of a warning sign too. But in bull markets, you can see closing highs like that for, you know, up to 4, 5, 6 months in a row. So that's not necessarily a good indicator, but it'll be third month in a row that we have a closing high. The thing that I'm interested in gold is as we move up toward the peak that we saw back in July of 20, what's interesting is often when you have a high like that in of a previous or 3 years before, and then as you move up to that peak, often you don't reach that peak on the next move. And even though your pricing is much higher than the previous pricing, but that's not unusual. You often see that, and that bothers me a little bit. I'd rather see 2 or 3 months where we actually move down a little bit, because that would lengthen out this bull run a lot longer, in my opinion. But if you do take out the peak in 2020, then we could be up in overbought area for quite a while. So that's going to be interesting as we approach that high back in 2020.
Well, Doc, how are you looking at silver? Because for a lot of the resource stocks, gold has made a big move, but a lot of resource stocks still haven't responded, both gold and silver. But it really is going to take silver breaking out to really get the animal spirits coming back in the space. How are you looking at the technical setup in silver currently?
Well, silver is the same situation as gold in the sense that you've had 3 months of higher closing highs if we close up here for May, which we probably will, because where we're at now and where the last closing was last month, we're quite a ways away from it. So we will probably close at a higher closing high. So we'll probably have 3 months of higher closing highs. But one of the positives about silver is that the ADX has just started an ascent as far as the strength indicator, the overall strength indicator is. And so that could be telling us that we could be moving higher for some time. And we haven't had a higher closing high on the monthly chart yet for years. And we'd have to take out the closing high back in 2020 to really get bullish. And everybody talks about closing over 30, but you don't necessarily have to close over 30 if you just take out the closing high back in 2020. That in itself would be a good indicator. But the silver chart looks fine, and we could be moving up again next month. And if the silver chart moves up, then that tells you that the gold is going to be strong continuously too. So that's a good sign for the gold market as well. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if we get a little bit of pullback in the summer. That wouldn't be a bad thing. That, in fact, would be even a stronger thing going forward, because if these stocks continue to move higher or maintain their position on pullbacks, which I think they will, that's going to bode well for the stocks going forward.
Doc, one other metal I want to get your technical outlook on is copper, because boy, oh boy, copper was flat there for a year, well over a year, kind of topped out just below that $4 level, although it did touch above there a little bit at the beginning of 2023. But at the start of March, it started to take off. It's been almost a straight ride up, now closing in on that $5 level. What's your outlook for copper here? Could this just keep moving higher?
Well, what's interesting about copper right now, when you look at the monthly chart, the price we're at today is right at the highest closing month back in early 2022. So it's challenging that. So it's going to be interesting to see if this month we close above that former higher closing high. If it does, and we can close up another month up there, the odds are very good that we could continue to move higher. However, with copper, we are starting to approach the overbought area already. So I like the silver chart better than I do the copper chart right now. But we'll have to wait and see, because there are some things I'm seeing on the copper chart that it might not move as quickly as silver might in this instance. But we'll see where it closes this month, because we're right at that point where it closed back in 2022, and we'll see if it takes it out. But that's a positive feature right now for copper.
Well, Doc, when you think about silver, it's kind of straddled between copper and gold. On one side, silver is a precious metal, so if gold does well, that should bode well in silver's favor, and it has historically. But also, silver has that industrial component, and copper has been doing well, and so have a lot of the other base metals. So do you think it's more of a tug of war where either way, if copper runs or gold runs, eventually silver puts on his dancing shoes?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think you can avoid that if that happens. And then we really have a bull market going on. And we have a market where, some folks have talked about copper hitting $6. And that's amazing. Before some of these mining companies really get serious about, starting to increase their mining of the metal again, they want to see a higher price. So if we get two of these continuing to move, you can't avoid the third one, I don't think, because that tells you we're in the beginnings of a real bull market for these commodities.
All right, Doc, let's get into the stocks then. Let's start off with gold stocks. Look, the majors, broadly, gold stocks have rebounded here in the last 2 months, from big stocks even down to the little guys. But you look at something like the majors, they're nowhere close to their highs, but they have rebounded. Even something like Franco Nevada's still not quite at its highs. It's been the mid-tiers, it seems like, that have outperformed or been the best performers. A lot of the juniors, even if they have doubled in the last couple months, if you go back on a long enough time frame chart, it's still not a pretty chart. So where are you finding some of the best investment opportunities in the gold space?
Well, I've been starting to play around with some of these explorers even more. I had bought a lot of them already. But you look at something like Newmont, and sure, Newmont's made a move, but what's fast fascinating to me is Newmont is still in its monthly trading range. It hasn't broken out of it. And we're not going to be really in a strong bull market for these metals until we start to see breaking out of the monthly Bollinger Bands on the upper side, which a lot of these stocks are still in. When you really look at them, whether they're explorers or whether they're producers or mid-tiers or whatever, even another example is Equinox. They're still within their monthly Bollinger Bands. And once they break out of the monthly Bollinger Band on the upside, then we know that we've really got something going and that we're going to go a lot higher with these stocks. So I think we may be reaching a point where we're going to be in some higher trading ranges for a lot of these companies, and they're not going to see their lows again for years. But we're establishing a higher trading range, which will be actually a good thing. And it could be that we're going to have this stair step formation that I talked about months ago when we do hit the lows in these things, that they're not just going to take off and go to the moon right away, but we're going to do a stair step over time until we get that real breakout that everybody's going to become manic and want to be in on the action and then driving these stocks into levels that they don't deserve again. But it's going to take time, I think, for a lot of these companies.
Well, I think you said the key word there, Doc, and that's time. I think that when you look at it under different time frames, a lot of people listening probably have different approaches, different time horizons, but you're more of a long-term value investor. And so when you're looking at the charts and the monthly charts and looking at these patterns, you think you're seeing on the charts a setup that could actually be a sustained bull run. I'd love you to unpack that, because for short-term traders, they may have already been positioning and seen these moves go up 100, almost 200% on some of these stocks and think, wow, is it over? But from a longer-term value investing perspective, you think we could have a pretty long run here in the gold and silver stocks, correct?
Oh, yeah. So many of them are so undervalued yet, even after this is a nothing move. In my view, when you just get a move up from a lower Bollinger Band on a monthly to the upper Bollinger Band, that's a nothing move when you go back historically. And we're seeing that with a lot of these. So, and being a value investor and having got into some of these really at levels where I've already seen a 200% gain or more, I'm not going to be selling this time, because this is a move that's different than some of these others we saw in this past bear market. In those past bear markets, I sold a number of my stocks and took gains and then bought them back again when they came back. This time, I don't think a lot of these stocks are going back to their lows. They may move down again, but they're not going to see their lows, but they'll be trading in a higher trading range. And then I'll purchase again more when they come back. But I'm in it now for the long term. I'm not selling. I'm just buying completely. And because I'm not going to take the chance this time that by selling, they take off. And then I wish I had stayed in them longer, because this is really a nothing move yet, even though it's telling you it's different than the ones that we've seen in the last 3 years.
So how do you view companies, or just the general chart, I guess, of stocks that haven't moved over this last, let's say, 2 to 2.5 month period, while the rest of the sector has gone up 50, 100, even 200%? There are a handful of stocks, usually the smaller ones, that haven't done anything. Is that the market telling you something, Doc, that they're not going to do anything, or is there an opportunity there?
I think there's still an opportunity there. Let me give you one that we talked off mic on, and that I've been purchasing because I love the way it's acting like it's forming a bottom here. And everybody knows about this stock and they like it. The only problem is there's so many shares that are going to be outstanding on this thing, but it's got the ounces of gold they have is amazing. But the one would be i80 Gold. When you look at its performance, it's gone nowhere while some of these other stocks have. But I love the way the daily chart looks right now in the weekly chart and the monthly chart. It didn't share in this move, but I'll start purchasing that company, because thinking long term, that when this market really gets going, and with the number of ounces they have in the ground and the potential for this company, the move in this company could be amazing as well. And there's other companies like that that I've been purchasing that haven't moved. But from a technical basis, they have big gaps above. And you know that, like every other sector in the stock market, like the NASDAQ and others, remember the late 90s when everybody went nuts on these NASDAQ companies that had no value. Well, you're going to have the same thing with the precious metals companies when they hit their tops. Everybody will become super manic on these things, and they'll buy anything that moves, and that's going to happen with a lot of these companies that can hang in there, regardless of their value.
Well, Doc, recently, and it's only a recent situation, we've seen things like SILJ, the Silver Juniors ETF, start outperforming some of the gold stocks. And typically, what we see in a strong bull run is that silver finally outperforms gold, and we've seen that happening lately. And then you see the silver stocks outperforming the gold stocks. Is that how you think this sector will unfold again in this bull run, where we start seeing not just silver, but the silver stocks leading the pack?
Yeah, in fact, look at a company like Endeavor Silver. It's breaking. That's one that's breaking out from its monthly long-term trading range. That is breaking out. And another one is Fortuna. It really looks strong right here. And that's also breaking out. And that tells me that that stock has a lot further to run if you look at the monthly history on that stock. And that one could perform like it did back in 2016 and 2021. I don't think it will, because if we're going to be in trading ranges for a while, it may have a little problem reaching the heights it did back then. But that's an example of silver looking very strong to me in some of those silver companies.
So, Doc, what about the producers here, small-scale producers? Because they have done fairly well. They should be making even more money to invest back in their projects, also to potentially buy and acquire other assets, because you still look at the valuations. Even after this rebound, ounces in the ground are still not valued at astronomical levels, arguably still cheaper to acquire ounces in the ground than to actually explore for them. Are you favoring at all any of these smaller scale producers?
I haven't really bought them as much, Corey, and probably have to look at it. And I like some of the royalty companies that haven't moved, you know, much at all. You look at something like Metalla Royalty and some of those. In fact, that's starting to sell off again a little bit. But yeah, I haven't looked at those as much as I have at other things, like at the large cap and some of these explorers that I like technically as well as fundamentally.
Well, Doc, just off mic, we were also talking about some of the development stage companies that, to Corey's point, have a lot of ounces in the ground that are still at, I would say, silly valuations. They're getting only a fraction of what they've gotten in other cycles. You were mentioning a couple of them that you were starting to position and that just have a lot of ounces. Do you expect those to be optionality plays on the rising metals price, or more of just more eyeballs coming into the sector and realizing that they're trading at a significant discount?
I think both, actually. And that's why I'm accumulating. Now, if I was a trader, I probably wouldn't be. But looking out long term on where this gold price could go over the next few years, I will purchase those, because once they catch on fire with the ounces they have on the ground, and then you get more investors into this segment, those are the ones that I think can really scream in price. And that's why I'm willing to keep picking them up here, and because they haven't really performed in this market. But that's because I now am a holder. I'm not selling hardly anything here. And I'm doing that with other sectors in the stock market on companies that are decent companies that have gotten hurt over time. Their fundamentals are decent and their technicals look good to me.
I guess that's a good point to end on here then, Doc, right? You're not just all into these junior resource stocks. You are seeing opportunities broadly within the market. So how do you go about diversifying yourself in a simplistic way? I guess staying away from the temptation of being all in on just one stock, how do you balance out your portfolio?
Well, when companies were doing so poorly, and I told you before, I got heavy into the preferred bond market on these banks. when the Silicon Valley went under, everybody ran for the exits and they got scared and, oh, doomsday was coming for the banks again. But when you look at that sector and some individual banks, they got hurt tremendously. So I was able to buy the preferred bonds at a phenomenal discount and getting 8 to 9. And now I've reaped the capital positive on these things where they've moved toward par. And so I made money on both ends. And by the way, I'm starting to get out of some of those regional banks because I think the commercial debacle is going to come home in the next few months. And some of these regional banks are going to get hit again. I don't think the big centered banks will, money center banks will. So I divert capital back into those because they have good. But what I'm doing is in other sectors, when a stock gets unmercifully hit, and the technicals really look good and the fundamentals still are in place, I'll start to take positions in them. So I look at different sectors and I look for stocks that everybody hates at the moment. And then I take positions in them and I do it because I'm a long-term holder and I'm not just in there trading. I don't think I'd be a very good trader, frankly. So I don't go there. And if you're patient enough, you're always rewarded anyway.
All right, Doc, thank you very much for your time. Always fun chatting with you on kind of that monthly basis, getting an update on the monthly charts, what you're seeing. And definitely, we have seen a turn in this market. It all started March 1st when the gold price started to move. And now the underlying stocks, silver, other commodities have all been moving. It seems like this rotation of money is continuing, even when the broad average is still hanging around those all-time highs. It's an encouraging market right now. And again, you take a long enough chart look and these charts have just started to move, could have a lot of upside from here. You've given us a number of stocks that you're buying, which is always appreciated. Doc, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. We'll chat again next month.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.